Father, we just bow our knee to you this morning, Lord, again and continually as we meet together. Father, that you would have the preeminence here, Lord, that you would come and move amongst us by your Spirit, Lord. Apart from your Spirit, Lord, we can do nothing. For the flesh profits but very little, but the Spirit gives life. And so, Lord, we just call upon you this morning. Continue to minister to us, Lord. Lord, awaken us up to the great privilege we have as your children. Lord, the great privileges we have that you have, Lord, laid bare for us, that we would have all that we need to live lives that are pleasing to you in this life. Lord, there is no hindrance. Lord, there is no giant. There is no enemy. There is no sin, Lord, that can have victory over us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us, and Lord, that you've given to us your Spirit, Lord, that as we learn to walk by the Spirit and not by our own flesh and our own wisdom and our own emotions, Lord, that we can have victories over these things that can so easily beset us if we go in our own strength and go our own way. Father, we are your people. Lord, we are vessels unto you. Lord, you call us a holy people, a holy priesthood. Lord, you called us a special people that are called apart by you, that we would show forth your glories and your virtues and your light. Father, what a high privilege we have. This morning, Lord, come and speak to our hearts, Lord, as we look into your scriptures. Lord, that you would really shine your light into every area of our hearts. Lord, that everything, Lord, that is hidden from you would be exposed. Father, as it says in the Hebrew letter, that we are naked before you with whom we have to do. Lord, we thank you that in that vulnerableness, Lord, in that transparency, Lord, that there it is that you love us and you don't condemn us. Lord, but you love us and you are determined to conform us into the image of your beautiful Son, even Jesus. Lord, you love us that much that you want us to be like him, and you're doing, Lord, that in our lives. So, Father, come and have your way amongst us, Lord. I confess my need for that, Lord, to speak to me this morning and to speak through me. Lord, I pray that each heart would be open and, Lord, just open and bare before you, willing to hear what the Spirit is saying unto us and then to put it into life, Lord. Father, so we just stand before you and sit before you and lift our hearts before you, confessing, Lord, that you are the potter and we are but the clay. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We are going back to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to pick up in verse 14, and we'll read some verses there, but I think we'll start in verse 3, and we'll just read down through verse 21. That's our section, and we've gone through about two-thirds of it, but let's just read so we get the context again. Verse 3 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. But fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even once be named among you, because that's not becoming. That's not good-looking for saints. That's what the word means. It's not becoming to saints. Saints shouldn't look like those things. Neither obscenity or filthiness or foolish talking or crude and coarse jesting, which are not befitting, again, for saints. But instead of those things, let us be giving thanks. For this you know, that no immoral person or whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous person who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore fellow partakers with them, for you were once darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. So then walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of this light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable, what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or rebuke them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, or all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we can tell by reading those verses, there is just so much in there. They're just packed. You know, and as you study these things, you know, I feel like I'm a little pint jar, and someone's trying to fill a 10-gallon aquarium into that jar, you know. And it can't, what happens as you try to cram that into this shallow little jar is sometimes you lose some things, and I lose a lot of things. When I get home sometimes, gee, I should have said that, and I didn't say it. Why didn't I say this? Oh, I could have said that. But hopefully God has my tongue and my mind, and He has your mind as well and your hearts as well as we look at these things. These verses, I feel, are so apt for today. This is the gospel for today. And you should have picked it up when it talks about immorality, sexual perversion. Shouldn't even be named among the saints. And don't be deceived, because the world is telling you that these things are normal. The scriptures say they are not normal. They are not befitting for a saint, those who have been separated by God. That's what saint means. It's a holy one, someone who has been sanctified, and God is separated from the world. You're not in darkness anymore. Sin does not have dominion over you anymore. You are born out of light and set free from the bondage and the dominion of sin. That's who we are as Christians. You know, we might fail once in a while, but it should not be our life. It shouldn't be the whole covering of our life that we're failures. And I know in one sense, yes, we're wretches, but in the other sense, we're not. God hath given us a new identity, and that is saints, children of light, born again unto Him, His beloved children. We have this identity, and yes, we might fail once in a while, but that is not who we are. God hath made us. He has a new soil, as it were. He has a new soil, and in this soil, you know, if Jerry Teglin was here, he could tell us about some of this seed that they have, that they impregnate it with disease-resistant stuff, and you put it in the soil as well, and there's a resistance in that soil to weeds growing. Well, being born again, there is a resistance within us to sin. Sin might happen, but it cannot thrive in the new soil that we are. We were old soil, where it was natural for sin to thrive and selfishness to thrive and unforgiveness to thrive and pride to thrive. But as new soil, these things are not at home in our soil. They cannot thrive there. They might spring up for a moment, but they should wither, because they can't derive life from us. We are new plantings of God. We are new soil. And so the world is telling us, don't be deceived. It tells us it's okay to do these things, to live together, to have sex outside of marriage, to lust after certain things, to covet certain things, to go after money, to sell your soul for commerce. It says this is okay to do those things. Everybody does it. Go ahead and do it. Do not be deceived. This is not true. This isn't becoming of saints. We are called to something different. Now, if you don't want to be something different, then be a sinner. And be honest about it and enjoy your life because it's going to be short and eternity is long. All that an unbeliever will know of heaven will be this life. The only joy he will ever have, someone who is not a Christian, is this life. But he'll have all of eternity in hell. All that a saint will ever know of suffering and tribulation is this life. And we will have all of eternity to enjoy the presence of God. And it's wonderful where we're going. We're winners. You know, and like Vance Hafner said, he would rather give himself to a to a cause that may seem to fail for a while, but in the end, it is destined to succeed. He would rather give himself to a cause that is destined to succeed than to fiddle around in a cause that is destined to fail. And yes, we may succeed for a while on this earth and in the worldly plans, but in the end, it is failure. And to the world's eyes, we may look foolish in that we're failing for a while, but in the end, we're triumphant forever. So do not be deceived. Okay, this is what it says. What a man sows, that he shall reap. Do not be deceived, because the world tells us all these other things. These are just some of the verses. But again, what a gospel for today, for today's age. What a gospel. So as we look at these new verses, we come to this kind of a new section, and I hope to get through like three verses of the new section. All right? And it's a challenge because it applies to every single one of us. There's subjects in here. Like I said, I'm a pint jar trying to catch a hydrant full of water in here. Maybe we can catch some of it. Before I start, well, let me just mention some things as we look at these verses. Verse 14 says to awake. Okay, wake up. We'll maybe spend another minute on it, but this word is burning in my heart. Wake up. Tom, wake up. Each of us, say it to yourselves. You don't have to say it out loud, but wake up. You know, good, you did say it. But really, do we not realize that eternity is now? Do we not realize that every opportunity we miss, every stumbling step we take, every self-centered thing we do is against us? And so every minute counts. This is what this is saying. Wake up, Church of God, wake up. We think we can frittle away time and I'll get right with God tomorrow. There might not be a tomorrow. And even if there is a tomorrow, today was a disaster and it harmed me. You know, I'll keep my hand in the fire. Tomorrow I'll bring it out and then I won't do that anymore. Well, what's my hand going to look like when I pull it out of there? Sin leaves scar tissue. You'll remember it all of your life, the things you did, and regret it. Things that we've done, and sometimes it scars us, and we're never the same again because of some of the sins we've committed. Wake up, the Bible says, to wake up. And then it says in the next verse, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. We get to get into these words. They're deep, and there's wells of information and encouragement there. And it talks about walking, and this is what's important, that we learn to walk as Christians. God said to Abraham way back in Genesis, walk before me and be thou perfect. He said that it be mature. Walk in all that I have for Abraham. God has something for you, and he tells you to walk in it and be perfect. In other words, take advantage of everything that God has for you. That is perfection for you. It might not be perfection for Billy Graham, or it might not be perfection, but it's perfection for you. Walk before me and be perfect. Live in all that I have for you to do. And so he says that we're walk circumspectly, not as fools, not as unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is, redeeming the time. Why? Because these days are evil. This was written 2,000 years ago. What are they today? You know, 50 years ago, what's going on today, they would have never believed what's going on today. And 50 years from today, unless God comes in a revival or something across this nation and across all of humanity, we will be shocked at what is going on and is being called normal. But the Scriptures do not change. God is immutable. It means He never changes. What He disliked in the Old Covenant, He still dislikes in the New Covenant. He didn't all of a sudden change and said, oh, I'm modern now, I'll wink at this. God doesn't change. So in this, the kind of the topic under here that I want to talk about is walking. That's where I want to kind of maybe start with is walking. Okay, walking. It's so important. Walking means a repetitive action. It's not a jump. You know, and I saw, and now I made a good decision for the Lord, but that's all, that's as far as I'm going. It's not even a sprint where you sprint for a week and then you flatten out. And if you go to a conference, you go to a FCA camp, you go to whatever it is, and all of a sudden, phoom, you're sprinting for a week. That's not what it is. It says walk. It talks about a continual motion. It's just, you know, one foot after the other, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for a lifetime, walking. That's what it's talking about. And we have a choice to make. Okay? Old people, young people, middle-aged people, we have choices to make in this. I want to read a poem. It's from the book by Isabel Kuhn. It's quoted there in the first chapter, first page, by a guy named John Oxenham. He also wrote, and some of you will know this, Love's Prerogative. Remember that poem? For love gives, and as it gives, it lives, and as it lives, it gives. For this is love's prerogative, to give and to give and to give. John Oxenham. Then he wrote this one also. And I've got it written here. I think I have it memorized from before when I read it. To every man or woman, whatever, to every man there openeth a way and ways and a way. A way, ways, and a way. And the high soul, he climbs the highway. And the low soul, he gropes the low way. And in between on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to each man there openeth a way. And a ways, and a way. And each man must determine the way that his soul will go. Okay? So there's offered to you, if I can say it this way, a highway, God's way. And there's offered a satanic way. We can grow up that way. And in between, just a bunch of mindless people, a lot of Christians, just drifting along in the misty flats, just drifting, drifting, drifting. But to everyone, we make a decision. Am I going the highway, God's way? Am I going to go Satan's way? I'm just going to go the world's way, be a worldly Christian and drift along, to each one. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, narrow is the way that leads into life. Narrow is the gate. And in other words, there's only one way to get in. And when you get on the other side of the gate, the road also is narrow. Few there be that find it, but wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many there be that go that way. So a way, that's a highway. There's a satanic way, and then the in-between way, that's broad. Everybody goes that way. So that's our challenge as we look into these verses. It starts in verse 14 with this challenge. Wake up. Okay? I think he's talking to Christians. This is written to Christians. He's saying, hey, wake up. We could turn to Isaiah 60 and look at what he says to the church. Wake up. If you ever heard the little collection of snippets from great men of the Christian church in the last 70 years, men like Tozer and Duncan Campbell and Ian Paisley and Paris Reed had called Revival Hymnal. It opens up, awake, thou sleeping giant, you know, whatever it is, awake. Ian Paisley, it's quoting from Isaiah 60. But this is our first thing. Okay, if you're with me, if you want to walk the highway, if we want to walk God's way, the first thing is wake up. Okay, your life matters. Yesterday mattered to you. What did you do with it? This moment matters to your soul. What are you doing with it? This afternoon matters to you. What are you going to do with it? Don't we realize that we're going to give an account for everything of our lives before the great high priest, before the throne of God? Wake up. So he's telling us, wake up. You've been asleep. I've been asleep. If you've been sleeping, wake up. And this is a wonderful thing that God commands us and challenges us to wake up. Verse 14, wake up, thou that sleepest, arise from among the dead. He doesn't say you are dead, but you're sleeping and you're laying in a graveyard. You're sleeping with dead people. You're not dead, but you're sleeping. But you're no good. You can't do any more than them because you're sleeping. Wake up. Make a difference. Okay, wake up, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. And what happens? Christ shall give you light. Okay, may Christ give us light today. I am the light of the world. That he would give us light. What kind of light? Light so we know what to do with our lives. The very next words say this. Isn't it interesting? and he will give you light. See then. See the connection in verse 15? See then. I don't know what version you have. You might have been robbed if it doesn't say that, because that's what it says. Having been given light, now see. Okay? Now, am I seeing? Having been given light, then see. What does see mean? What does it mean? Again, you know how I like definitions. I didn't write a lot of them down this morning, but it means to discern mentally. That's what that word means in the Greek. To discern mentally. Be observant. See. To discern mentally. To observe, to perceive, to consider, to contemplate, to take heed. Okay, God has given us light. We know what to do. We know wrong from right. So now be seeing. It reminds me of, do you guys like someone like Sherlock Holmes? And there's a quote about Sherlock Holmes, and he's always, his buddy Watson. And so he's telling Watson that people they see, but they don't observe. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, and because Watson said, I'm sure I see better than most people. He said, well, yeah, you might, but you don't observe. Well, what do you mean? He said, how do we get up here into this, Baker Street? Was it 221 Baker Street? How do we get upstairs? How do we do that? Well, there's stairs. We walk upstairs. Oh, so then you're telling me that, Watson, you see those stairs? Well, yeah, I see them every day. I'm very perceptive. Okay, how many steps are there? Oh, I don't know. How long have we been living here? 7 years. How many steps? I don't know. He said, see, you see, but you do not observe. You see there's stairs there, but you don't know how many there are, so you've never observed. So this is what that word see means. It tells us to be objective, to look and see. See what the world is doing. See where you're going. See what God would have us to do. To discern mentally. The Christian life, we need to plug our brains in. We're not zombies. God didn't make zombies. He's not looking for zombies, not looking for robots. We're to be thinkers. Doesn't mean we have to be intellectual and the smartest guy in the world. We just have to think and use our brains a little bit. Don't be easily swayed. So he says, seeing then, or see then, and again in the Greek it means to see and to continually see. Go on seeing. It's not a one-time seeing. It's to see and continually see. We're to pause and take a look at our life, at what we're doing. See that you walk again, and walk again is that order of life. It's our behavior of life. It's not a one-time thing. It's a series of decisions that we make, and those decisions come out, and people observe how we walk. They observe our behavior. So see then that you walk again, and walk. I've explained it. It's not just today. It's every day. This has got to grip us that Christ has our hearts. He's got our everything. See that you walk circumspectly. Now, again, that's an old word. What are some of the other words that other people have for circumspectly? Who? Carefully? Okay, carefully. Lana, did you have a different one? Carefully? Okay. Now, again, word pictures. I love these word pictures. Let me read. It means circumspectly means exactly or accurately, carefully, diligently, with exactness and thoroughness, precision. Okay, and it means this. In addition to accuracy, it's also associated with the idea of looking and examining, investigating something with great care and alertness. Be constantly taking heed how accurately you are conducting yourself. So again, walking circumspectly, what I see in my mind with this, it means every place, if I'm walking circumspectly, accurately, that God has laid out for me a path to walk in. And the next step I take, I want to make sure that I do it accurately. I do it exactly where God wants me to place that foot, because we live in a landmine field. And God's laid out the path for us. And if I veer out on my own, I might hit some bombs. I might have some trouble. But God has laid out for us. So he says, walk, be continually walking circumspectly. Be thinking. Plug your mind in. What would God have me to do? Be careful, because we live by emotions. We live by feelings. They take us and they make fools of us. That's what some of these words mean. They take us and they drag us where we wouldn't go. Whatever the emotion is, it isn't just joy. a temporary happiness. You know, and people today will seek happiness instead of holiness. As Christians, talking about Christians, their whole thing is, well, that was really fun. Well, fun is good. I'm not against fun, but fun isn't the criteria of godliness. And so we substitute happiness for holiness. Fortunately, holiness is happiness for them. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. But again, this word walk, we've got to get this. It's as though someone were walking in a precarious field or on a precipice of a mountain. And you've got to put your feet in the right places. So see and be seeing that you're walking. Your manner of life is circumspect. It's accurate because people are watching you. And beyond that, it matters to your soul. It matters to your eternity. The end of it is that we would be well-pleasing unto Him. The only way to be well-pleasing is to walk circumspectly. Watch your mind where it goes. Is it critical? Is it picking on people? Is it judgmental? Watch pride swell up inside you as your prayer life grows. Be careful for pride coming up. Walk circumspectly. Be careful about where you place your feet, gentlemen. If there's something that will easily pull me off to the side, some lust, don't be careful where I set my feet. Go to the left, not to the right. Stay away from there. Spurgeon said you're much better off going around the block the long way. If something troubles you on this block, go around the long way and miss it. Putting your feet accurately, this is what it means. Be careful where we put our feet. Young men, young women, be careful where you put your feet. Everything we do leads to something else. Everything we do. And you might think, we could think, well, how about if I just don't do anything? It leads to something else. You're going to fall asleep. And you're going to get lethargic. And eventually, if you can spend a whole lot of time like that, you're going to go and your body will go into atrophy. Everything leads to something else. Be careful what you do because it leads to, oh, I can just do this little bit with her. No, everything leads to something else. That's why we must place our feet accurately where we place them, very carefully. God must have our hearts. You know, he must, if he doesn't have our hearts, we'll never make these decisions. You know, let God have our hearts. That's why he said, wake up, Christians. You know, don't be like this. Be like this. You once were dead, but you're not anymore. You were darkness, now you're light. Be like this. Walk as children in the light who love their Father. So, again, back in verse 15, see then. Make sure that you walk accurately, with exactness, carefully, not as fools. Because the rest of the world, or even many Christians, they walk like fools. They don't care. I'm just going to do it. Feels good, do it. Don't do that. That's what he's saying. He's telling you got to be different than the world. Life is serious. Christian life is serious. It's a wonderful gift to us. And we're going to be accounted. We have to account for these things before God. So we're not being as fools, those who are without wisdom. I'm going to turn to Psalm 73. I've got to be careful about jumping to other verses. Psalm 73, not as fools. Verse 22. Psalm 73, verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before you. This is a person, again, he's talking about a person who doesn't walk circumspectly, isn't seeing, mentally figuring out, okay, what's the consequences of this? You know, I remember one time Chad told me that he had learned this thing they had been taught was to play it forward. In other words, before I do something, what's the outcome going to be? If I do this, what's going to happen next? And what's going to happen next? And what's going to happen next? Playing it forward. That's being seeing means intelligently looking at something that we might walk circumspectly. We might walk, you know, correctly before God. We walk carefully and very carefully with exactness. So in not being foolish. So foolish is just doing whatever you want to do. Hey, they did this to me. I'm going to do that. Boom. But that's not what the Scripture says. It says, do not repay evil with evil. That's what it says. Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's what Scripture says. Now, so walking accurately would be, okay, that's where I got to put my foot, right there. That I don't retaliate. That's not what I'm supposed to do. It says love thinks no evil. How often do we think bad thoughts about someone? But love thinks no evil. In fact, someone might have failed you 1,000 times. But the Bible says love believes all things. So where am I going to put my foot on those things? Lust says if you do this now, you'll really be satisfied. But the Scripture says, no, you won't be. That everything I sow, I'm going to reap what I sow. It's not good. And it harms God. It grieves the Spirit of God. So where am I going to put my foot? This is how we're to think as Christians. We're to, you know, be transformed, as it says in Romans 12, to be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. And so there's these challenges for us. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Again, the wise is, it means the practical application of knowledge. All of us, I think, know that if we do a certain thing, this is going to be the outcome. Then we do it anyway. See, that's not wise. That's foolish. Those are the two words. Wisdom is, to be wise is to apply what we already know. Because, you know, we know so many things. And then, but if we don't apply it, it doesn't do us any good. Someone can, a doctor can know all there is about this particular procedure, but if he doesn't do it, boy, pity the patient, huh? And he better have good insurance, you know. So wisdom is applying what we already know. That's what wisdom is. So this is how we're supposed to walk. See then, be, you know, discern where we're going with things. And then walk accurately, walk carefully, walk exactly, you know, this way. Not being fools who just say, I'm going to do it anyway, but as wise, those who apply what you know. This is a challenge for us. I mean, if this was the only verse in the Bible, it'd fill our life up, wouldn't it? Every day to live this way. Every day, wake up, be seeing, be walking circumspectly or cautiously, accurately, always, every step we take, every word I speak, every thought in my mind, everything I do, circumspectly, doing that way. Not being foolish, but being wise. It's a lifetime in that verse, and it will be our whole lifetime working in that verse. And so we move on. Not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, what happens if we do that? Well, there's a redeeming of the time. We can't redeem ourselves. You can't redeem your wife, your husband, your children. You can't redeem your neighbor. But God will do that. But our command is to redeem time. Redeem time. It's the only gift. It's one of the most precious gifts to us is time. Your life is time on earth. It's time. Time is so important. Ravenhill, you know, said, I have two enemies, the devil and time. It's today. It's this moment. Redeem that moment. Redeem it means to buy it up. Somehow we purchase. There was foolish virgins. Remember in Matthew 25, foolish is this same word here where he said, don't be fools, but be wise. They were foolish. Why? Because they didn't buy up the time. They didn't have the light within them. It had gone out. They lost out on it. And here he says that we're to be buying up, to be redeeming the time. I think I've got a definition. I may have written it down here. And the word thought is of a marketplace, maybe even an auction, you know, for modern, you know, auction or a marketplace where you are looking for a specific something that you need. And there it is. And you have an opportunity to buy it up. Don't miss it. Because once the other person bought it, it's gone. Or in the auction, once the gavel drops, it's gone. We've experienced that on a worldly, you know, kind of a fleshly thing. That's what the word means, redeeming, buying up. We have this opportunity. Jesus has given you this day, maybe, to live for him if we live throughout the day. He's given you this life. Do not waste it. This is what it means. Do not waste your life. We are redeeming the time. What else can I say about it? To buy up, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that obedience and zeal and well-doing, correct use of time and resources are, as it were, the currency whereby we make our days work for us in eternity. What we do with our lives, the right choices we make, our time is the most precious thing in one's outside of salvation God has given us, our time. And everything screams for your time. But that's all we have is time. Redeeming the time. How did you spend yesterday? How did you spend Friday? How did I spend it? You know, how do we spend our days? How many hours wasted doing things that don't matter? You know, this is what the command is. Redeeming the time. Buying up the time. If we turn to Matthew 6, let's turn there for a moment, Matthew 6. Read a couple of verses. Matthew 6, 19. Chapter 6 and verse 19 of Matthew 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up or treasure up for yourselves treasures in the heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. And verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. All these other things shall be added unto us. So time, in a sense, is what we do with our life is our currency that we redeem the time in heaven. You know, again, time. I mean, just think in your own life. If we could have a pie chart and you could mark out, in fact, it's a good exercise to mark it out on your pie chart. That pie chart is 24 hours. How much time do you spend? Okay, in there it's sleeping. Let's say we're good at that. There's 8 hours. That's a third of the day. Working, another 8 hours. Another third of the day. Now two-thirds of the day are gone. Eating, hour and a half eating. Now I got 6.5 hours left. Okay, and, you know, on and on. Just, and, you know, redeeming the time, marking, how much time do we spend? And it's not even that. Even at work, I have to walk circumspectly at work. So even during those 8 hours of work, I need to walk right. I can't side in with all the guys in their foul, obscene language. I can't side in with that stuff. I can't side in when they're criticizing the boss and tell him the boss is a loser and he should get fired and Bill, you should take their place or something. That's, you know, we're supposed to pray for those who are over us. You know, we don't side in with complaining and murmuring about a brother or a sister. We don't do those things. It starts out, remember this section, it's a walk of love. And then it was the walk in light. And now this is a walk in wisdom, how to apply. So these are the things we do, buying up the time. This is the most needed area in our lives, is to buy up the time. Spend good time. Man, time goes fast. I get on the internet and I love to search things out. You know, it's one of my weaknesses, is to search things out, and all of a sudden I can be on the internet for an hour. What a waste of time. You know, if I'm going to think about buying a razor, man, I'll go search out all the reviews on razors and blah, 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 and then look for the best sale once I determine what razor I'm going to get, look for the best place to get it and whatever. And yeah, that's kind of a waste of time. My whiskers still grow every day. You know, I didn't conquer that yet. So anyway, it's just, you know, redeeming the time. There just isn't enough. And the word time there means, it also means a season, that God gives us seasons. Sometimes God opens for you. All of a sudden, there's this great hunger you have in your heart to get with Him. Buy up the time. Redeem that season. Sometimes it's a great burden for a neighbor or somebody. Buy up that time. Go redeem it. You've got that opportunity. It's out there. It's on the hay rack of the auction. Get it while you can. Sometimes it's a hunger for the Word or something. Get in there and do it. Buy up the time. So it's not just every little step, it's a season. Jesus said, my hour is not yet come. It was a certain period of time. That's part of the understanding of this word when it says redeeming the time. So this is walking in wisdom. We're seeing, we're walking accurately. And in that, we're redeeming the time. This is what we're going to send on ahead of us to heaven. What a sad thing to end up in heaven and find out that you got zip in your bank account. You got nothing. Because I never redeemed the time. Yeah, my soul might be saved, but oh, I'm a pauper in heaven because I didn't redeem the time. This is the challenge, redeeming. It's a kind of a business view. It's a market view. I can't even think of the word. But that's what it is. It's doing the right things with what we have. You know, you think of Matthew 25, about to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. You know, that's what God's given us, and He's given us time. Buy up the time. Doesn't mean we can't do other things, but watch our time. You know, really watch your time, is what He's saying. So buying up the time, back here, Ephesians 5. redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, the days are always after you. Everything in the world is after you. You know, oh, I got to work more hours because then I'm going to make more money. And then what are you going to do with the money? You're going to die, and if you get it anyway, leave it behind. Again, no one's ever taken any money with them. Why do you have to leave your children $100,000? They don't need it. They'll find their own way. What is it about money that makes us pursue it with such fervency? What is there about money that, you know, we sell our souls to get the next job? We sell our souls and we lose our family. We don't redeem the time because I want to, you know, plant 10 more acres. I want to haul, you know, 20 more yards of this. I want to get 7 new business accounts. I want to do that. And what is it, you know, the days are evil. You know, guard ourselves. Guard your time. Every year, I believe every year, our life should be, more time should be spent with Christ than the year before. I believe every year, if we looked at last year and we looked at 2012 compared to 2013, we'd find that on 2013, I spent more time with Christ. I read the Scriptures more, I attended more meetings, and I spent more time with my family than I did the year before. If I'm going backwards, I need to ask somebody about that. You know, I'm doing this now. Here's why. Is this right? Is it wrong? What do I do? Meet with your family. Talk about it. Make a family plan. Are we willing to give up cable? Are we willing to go, you know, not go someplace or eat out? Let's make a plan here. Every year, we should be growing closer and closer and closer to Christ. And it doesn't happen by enlarging my bank account. It doesn't happen by getting more acreage. It doesn't happen by whatever it is. I mean, I'm not picking on anyone. Please don't think that I'm doing it because I mentioned certain things. I don't know what else to mention. You know, but that's not what matters in the end. You know, redeeming the time because the days, they are evil. If we don't realize that, you know, we're in trouble. That's the first word, seeing, because God's going to, we see these things. The days are evil. I can see that. And they scream for my time, you know. And, you know, anything that is good can be the enemy of the best. You know, I can spend too much time with my family. You know, that's all I do. I can spend too much time at work. And God says, if you don't work, then you shouldn't eat. So obviously we're supposed to work. It says we're not to owe anyone. We're not supposed to be in debt to someone. Go beyond the means whereby my agreement is I'll pay you on Thursday. I'm not supposed to go to Friday. I'm supposed to pay you by Thursday. That means being in debt. When I go beyond that date, I am now in your debt. Prior to that, on the front side of that, we're in agreement. So we're not to owe anything but to love them. And, you know, so this is part of walking circumspectly and redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be not foolish or unwise, but be understanding. There's the word again, understanding. Click our brains in. Use your brain. Stop and think, what am I doing? What does this decision do? If I make this decision, where is it going to lead me? If I do this, where am I going? What direction am I going? Am I placing my feet correctly on this precipice that I'm walking? And is this right? And I don't want to make that a fear thing, like, oh, if I make the wrong step, I'm going to blow up. You know, so we walk in fear. That's not what I'm saying is going to happen. God forgives us. He tells us to pick up and continue on. But we did miss an opportunity. That's what God doesn't want us to miss, opportunity. He is faithful. He's going to pick us up, dust us off, and go. We're not dead. We've got another. We're going to keep going on. But that's what the word means, to walk circumspectly, cautiously, carefully, walk that way. The Christian life is a serious thing. It's just not a religion. You know, it's not a T-shirt that I wear. It's not a tattoo that I put on. It's not just an appendage to my life. It is our life. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You know, I've said these things, you know, dozens of times. It's not a spectator sport. It's a participating sport. We're all participating. There's no end of the number of the people that are on the team. It isn't a basketball game where there's only 5 of us get to play. It's not a football game where 11 play. We all are in the game together. We're all in the arena together, and it's a participating sport. Wherefore, be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, so he expects us to be understanding what God's will is for our life. Understand it. Be thinking. You know, there's some other verses I'd like to go to, and I can't go to them. Let me close with this poem. Again, most of you know of, you know, C.T. Studd. There's a little poem that is frequently quoted by him. And I'll just read it here for us. Let me read a little paragraph before that. In short, we are to be walking as God expects and enables us by His Spirit. How He expects believers to walk. To walk circumspectly is to live in the light of our position, our privilege, and the power that we have as children of God. It is to attain to our potential as men and women who are in Christ. To walk as fools means to descend from this high plane to conduct of worldly, to the conduct of worldly men. Wisdom is the art of spending time wisely. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And then here's this poem by C.T. Studd. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my light, or if the lamp of my life was burned out for Thee. Those last two lines. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for Thee. It's a good poem. Actually, that poem is quite long. That's like the last little stanza of maybe 10 of them on there. So, well, let's pray. And Father, thank You again for Your Word, Lord. It's so rich and so deep and so full, Lord. It's so broad. It's so searching. Lord, we just scratch the surfaces of it as we look into it, Lord. There's so much there, Father. I pray that we will, Lord, contemplate these things as we go throughout this week, Lord, that we'll take inventory of our lives and make changes where changes need to be. And Lord, as we make these changes, I know that You are faithful to meet us there. Lord, that these changes we make would be fruitful in fellowship with You, Lord. If You want to change us, Lord, because You love us so much and You care for us, Lord. Oh God, have Your way with us. May the dear Savior see of the travail of His soul and be satisfied. Lord, help us to live lives that are pleasing to You, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God, that we might live well-pleasing in Your sight, that we might hear, even as Jesus heard, "Well done, my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well-pleased." Father, we just offer our lives to You, and we ask You to lead us and guide us and make these things real in our life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.